I want to speak today about encouragement, really, in a deep way. I want to speak about encouragement and about knowing, when you really know something. You know something so that you're able to encourage others with that knowledge. Today, we're looking at a scripture. We're getting ready for Palm Sunday. Jesus will be going into Jerusalem in short order. And we're looking at a scripture. I think of it in some ways as a dream. It's a dream picture, especially here in John. This story also occurs in the other Gospels. It's in Luke, it's in Mark. There's a table, and at the table is the resurrected Lazarus. You know, when you have a real hope, you bring all your friends together, don't you? Those who you know and those who may have passed on, they're all there at the table with you. And there sits Jesus. He's with you too. And there are others. And a woman named Mary comes out, and she identifies Jesus. She knows who Jesus is. You know, in the writing in Mark, we really understand how profound this is, because in that one, we're told to remember what she did whenever the gospel is preached. Remember this whenever the gospel is preached. So something about this vision speaks directly to the gospel. And here you are, and the woman comes out, and she puts this beautiful perfumed oil on Jesus' feet, and the whole room starts to smell wonderful. Bishop Spong just said, if you don't know that that's sexual, have a woman do that to you. So there we are, and the room is filled with this fragrance. And she's attacked by Judas. She knows that he's the king. When you pour oil on someone in the Bible, you anoint them, that would be called a sign action. A sign action is when what you're doing is a sign of something which is true or to come or a state of knowledge. So she performs a sign action. She anoints Jesus. And when you anoint someone, that means they're the king. David was anointed. Even the Dalai Lama, well, not even. It's not just Judeo-Christians who anoint for kingship. And so she anoints Jesus. And we're to know in this mystical story that that means that Jesus is a king and she knows he's a king. Immediately, of course, in a precious moment like that, there's a joy killer in the room. Judas, meaning the Jews, are there to say, this doesn't meet my moral expectations. And I just want to tell you that when you perform sign actions in your life, you might notice that very often there's a Judas hanging around you. But Jesus encourages her, and Jesus encourages us all, right at the end, saying, you will always have these difficulties, but you will not always have me with you. So what are we to make of this sign action, this thing that was to be told to us every time we hear the gospel? And I think it is the act of telling someone else the truth about the kingship of God. I go back to Matthew's Beatitudes. In Matthew, at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, we hear the preaching of what it would mean. What does the kingdom look like? Of course, in the Bible, there are many pictures of the kingdom, and stick around, you'll learn many of them. But in this picture of the kingdom, we hear about the people who feel that they must be losing, who will finally really win. In the first one, we hear about the poor in spirit, that theirs will be the kingdom of heaven. The poor in spirit, those who have lost all hope, and those who do not know where to look. What happens when you say to someone like that, I know it seems like this right now, but they're not winning. You will be okay. That's a sign action. You're giving to another. What about blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted? What happens when you say to someone whose heart is broken over loss, I hear you. My heart breaks with you. But this is not the last word on this. That's the kingdom. That's a sign action. You've had a sign action of the kingdom of God. What happens when someone is so meek that they can't even speak up for themselves? What happens when we tutor a child in our after-school program who doesn't even know to ask for the spelling test, let alone how to do it? And we take that spelling test out of their book and we say, this is how you handle that. And that child goes into school the next day and gets a 100%. Blessed are the meek. And we say, I'm not through with you yet. What happens when someone hungers for righteousness? Someone who is spitting bullets because something has gone wrong. Yesterday, one of the vestry members came to me and told me about a mosque in Basking Ridge that was due to be built and has been blocked by the planning board over and over again. And it sounds, I don't know, the New York Times has written an article about this. The clergy in Morris County are following it very carefully. I don't know the whole answer. I haven't studied it. But it would be a terrible thing, wouldn't it, to tell people to build a 110-car parking lot when they only need 54. And then they build a 110 parking lot and then tell them, actually, you can't build that parking lot here because it's not zoned for 110 cars. So you can't build your mosque. Blessed are the meek. When we say to them, as Mary said to Jesus, you can still have a mosque. Why don't you have it over here? I'll stand with you. And what about people who are pure in heart? Those who aren't tricky. You don't have to be so tricky in this world. I have to be tricky to get medicine out of Express Scripts. I mean, think of how tricky we have to be. Tricky to park your car this morning. Tricky to handle what? You know, everybody. Look at these tricky guys on television tricking each other. We watch these debates. Tricky, 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 tricky. I mean, what if a normal person got involved? What if somebody was pure in heart? The kingdom reality is that that person will see God. And what happens when you say, I know you're not getting the best of everybody here, but I see God in you. And what about the peacemakers? Boy, they really get a bad rap, don't they? And so I just want to say, we finally end up with a statement in Matthew that relates so specifically to this sign action. Because what about those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake? What about those who are truly hurt and defiled and injured just because they're trying to do the right thing? And what does it mean when you sidle up to them and say, I'm glad you spoke up? You know, Eleanor Roosevelt spoke at a high school once about prejudice. And she said, it was a girls' high school, and she said to the young women, if you hear somebody speaking with prejudice, always say something. Even though nobody will listen to you, the person that you're talking to won't listen, and everybody will think you're being stuck up. But always say something, she said, because you know there are bystanders and they will hear you say something and that will change their heart and it will mean something to the victim. What about those who are persecuted for righteousness? Says Scripture, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And finally, Mary makes it so clear that it is not her job to make justice happen. That is for the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And she will participate, but he will win. And he says to her, "You will not always have me. And I say to you, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you." Amen.